Welcome to the Quantum Pod, a podcast by Zapata AI. On this episode, I'm joined by three scientists from Zapata, MIT's Center for Quantum Engineering, and BMW. All right, today we're going to be discussing recent results the group published in which quantum-inspired algorithms improved state-of-the-art solutions for a vehicle production planning problem at BMW. But first, Shima, Will, Martian, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Great. Okay, so let's start with some introductions. Could you each share your name and what you do at your respective organizations? Let's start with Will.
Sure thing, Ethan. My name is Will Banner. I'm a fourth-year graduate student in the Engineering Quantum Systems Group at MIT.
Martian?
Hi, I'm Martin Zhukovsky. I'm part of BMW Tech Office in the United States, located in Greenville, South Carolina, close to our largest manufacturing site, producing all SUVs for the world. Our task is to bring new emerging technologies, identify business problem where they can be applied, and successfully create proof of concept for what could benefit BMW in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, and Shima?
My name is Shima Babhadyeshar. I'm a quantum application scientist at Zapata Computing with a focus on optimization and operations research applications.
Great. Okay, and so this is the Quantum Pod. So you've got to set the scene for us. And I believe, Shima, you have a Quantum Pod ready for us to go. Is that correct?
Yes, sure. So a Quantum Pod for me, for let's say us, is a large dome library with translucent glass panels that let in lots of sunlight and walls full of books. There are comfortable furniture around to sit and discuss ideas with colleagues.
That's awesome. I can picture that. Reminds me of my college library. Okay, so thank you for that, and thank you all for joining the show today. My first question here is for Will. So I understand that the work was done with MIT's Center for Quantum Engineering. How did the project first come about, and what were you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, so I guess both BMW and Zapata Computing are part of the MIT CQE. And it's an organization which connects members of MIT, like me, with other groups interested in advancing quantum information and related fields. So Zapata had previously developed a black box optimization method known as Generator Enhanced Optimization, or GEO. And it trains and exploits a generative model in order to try to speed up solving of hard optimization problems. In our case, it's a tensor network generative model, so that's where the quantum part comes in. And so given GEO's prior performance, we had an academic interest to see if the method might help in other settings. And BMW already had domain knowledge of some relevant problems, particularly manufacturing. So we decided that a manufacturing schedule problem might be a good setting to test. And we were pretty happy that GEO did help out, actually.
That's awesome. Yeah, okay, so this vehicle production scheduling problem, Martian, could you tell us a little bit more about that and what makes it so difficult to solve?
Sure, of course. So if you look at car that you purchase, there is several of stages in manufacturing that are very specialized to making this car more and more mature during the production. Everything starts with flat sheet of steel and press shop where components of the body are pressed. Then everything goes to welding, to the shop where all of those parts are welded together. That creates the shell of the car. Then everything is painted in the paint shop. And at the end, all the details of the car, all components inside, everything that's not part of the rigid metal structure is added to this body in the assembly. So the few main components for every plant are the body shop, paint shop, and assembly shop, that each of them operates on different speed based on how long does this process take per car? Also based on how many cars BMW decided to produce during the day, we need to make sure that we won't produce more or less, because then we either make the next shops idle or we don't have place to store them. So synchronizing these three different stages of production so that we always make what we planned and we always fully utilize the equipment that we have, and particularly we staff all of the shops appropriately and use correct shift models that let us do that, needs to be optimized for a given number of cars that we want to produce. So looking at rates of production, for example, assembly is very much limited by number of steps that need to be part of this this process. The paint shop is limited by how fast the paint is drying, levels of paints that are included, and the body shop, how many robots can operate at the same time, what are the stages in putting these parts together. So not all shops can produce the same amount of cars within the same amount of time. That's why making these different rates work together is important, to keep everything in flow and always make as much as we can sell.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and you have to, I guess, take into account, do you take into account what order different processes are completed? Do you just take into account shift schedules? What does that look like?
So there is many complexities into the problem. BMW is configurable to the extent that very often manufacturing side doesn't produce the same exact configuration with very long period of time. So the order of cars, the shift models between the shops, and how different shops work are important. Also, how fast can the equipment work? How fast can robots move? Or how many parts our suppliers can deliver to the manufacturing in a given period of time? All of that needs to be synchronized to make the shop work and be resilient to any failure, which brings everything to flow that can be represented by a pretty simple graph, but extremely flexible in the configuration that and number of parameters that can define when this flow is stable and when this flow reaches the exact values that that we want to get.
Gotcha. Okay. So I love efficiency. I'm a 100% certified efficiency enthusiast. But from the general business perspective, why does efficiency matter so much?
Well, efficiency matters because we don't want to keep the manufacturing site idle. And when it is idle, we will need to be at no additional cost. So whenever we decide to produce 100 cars, we should utilize the resources to produce 100 cars. Whenever we want to produce 1,000 cars, we want to utilize the resources to produce that amount. This is, of course, translated into what is the total cost of production, and keeping it always in line with what is the output is the efficiency that we strive for. So the cost of production should really match the output that that we're getting out of it. And in this case, we don't want to, for example, have to consider scenarios where the plant is scheduled to produce 100 cars, but all the equipment and everything around is running at the full capacity. That would potentially result with 1,000 cars.
Gotcha. Okay, so Shima, get ready. This next question is for you. And in the research, as Will said, you used a quantum-inspired generative model to generate new solutions to the manufacturing scheduling problem. And for any listeners at home, I know everyone here knows this, but for listeners at home, generative models are machine learning models, including those behind the tools like ChatGPT and DALL-E. And so at a high level, they learn from existing data to generate new data that resembles the ground truth. And what are the advantages of using a generative model for this problem?
Well, in previous works, we had seen promising results in the financial portfolio optimization problem, where GEO outperformed or tied with the state-of-the-art solver 65% of the time. In this work, we wanted to apply the technique to a more realistic optimization problem in industry like the BMW problem. As you mentioned, a generative model can learn from the best existing solutions, learning what makes a good solution, then generating new high-quality solutions. And then the best of the solutions created by the generative model can be used to retrain the model, so it proposes better and better solutions the more data it has. Another point is that GEO is really flexible, so it can be used as a booster for any existing optimization solver and for almost any optimization problem. It also works independently of whatever method is used to evaluate the cost function or how good a solution is to a given problem. And then once you have the GEO framework in place, the results will only improve as both generative models and the traditional optimizers they are trained on get more powerful. But we believe the real advantages come from using quantum or quantum-inspired models as we use in this research.
Okay, so we've heard the words quantum-inspired a couple times. Let's unpack that. What is a quantum-inspired model and why would we use it instead of a classical generative model?
So a quantum-inspired model uses techniques originally used by quantum scientists to model quantum systems, but it runs on a classical computer. Quantum or quantum-inspired models are particularly useful because they've shown to have better generalization. And by generalization, in this practical context, I mean the model can better learn from the data set and generate new, previously unconsidered and high quality solutions rather than simply repeating the solutions it was trained on. And at the end of the day, the goal is to generate better solutions than the solutions the model was trained on.
Okay, makes sense. But if I can play hardball for a little bit longer, why use a quantum-inspired model and not just a fully quantum model?
Well, the reason we don't use fully quantum generative models is simply because quantum hardware is not adequate enough yet for industrially relevant problems. On the other hand, tensor networks, which are the quantum-inspired model we use in this research, can provide an advantage in classical hardware today and can be easily transitioned to take advantage of more powerful hardware in the future.
When Shima mentions more powerful quantum hardware, what she's referring to is the class of quantum computers called fault-tolerant quantum computers, which don't have the same error limitations that today's quantum hardware has. So Zapata Research has actually shown how to map the quantum-inspired generative models used in this work onto real quantum circuits in the future. And this allows GEO to harness the full advantages of quantum statistics on future quantum hardware. I'll put a link to this work in the show notes. Gotcha. Okay, interesting. So back to you, Will. In this work with BMW, did GEO end up generating better solutions than the solutions it was trained on?
So that actually depends. And if you look at it in sum total, it is a mixed bag. We tried several different problem configurations, which varied by search space size. In addition, for each problem configuration, we compared GEO with five different seed optimizers that we used to train the generative model.
Super fast note, just to be clear, what we mean here by seed optimizer is an existing state-of-the-art optimization algorithm whose solutions were used to train the quantum-inspired generative model in the GEO framework. Okay, back to Will.
So we had a lot of different results depending on the seed optimizer and problem configuration. And for some cases, we did find improvement with GEO, although it can be hard to tell a priori if this would be the case. So in total, we performed over 1 million different optimization runs.
Wow. Okay, so what was the difference between one run and the next, like swapping out X, comparing Y?
Yeah, so I guess the main differences were the seed optimizer that we used, genetic algorithms or simulated annealing, and then also the problem configuration itself, so the way that the problem was formulated and encoded.
After we finished the recording, Will actually wanted me to come back in and put this jump in here because he didn't get the chance to talk about how much he really appreciates Orchestra for the problem that we're talking about here. So what is Orchestra? Well, it's Zapata AI's compute workflow management tool, and it makes it super easy to do exactly what this problem is. You know, pull out one seed optimizer, put another one in. Pull out one problem encoding, put another one in. And it allows you to do all of this in parallel on the most advanced compute that we have. So you can run this seed optimizer with that problem encoding, or that seed optimizer with this problem encoding, and you can do it all in parallel. Orchestra just makes that problem super easy for the developer or the scientist or whoever's running these workflows. Okay, so then overall, how did GEO compare to the seed optimizers that it was trained on? Maybe we'll throw this question to Marcin.
So GEO performed better in about 70% configurations. This is not 100, but we can largely eliminate number of configurations that do not contribute to the space, which gives the best solutions.
Okay. Shima, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that?
Another thing we observed is that GEO performed particularly well for the problem configurations that had largest number of possible solutions. In fact, for the configuration with the largest space of possible solution, GEO outperformed all other solvers.
So does that mean that GEO does better with more complexity, like more variables?
In this particular problem, we were able to use our knowledge of the problem to use problem configurations that had a smaller solution spaces, which in turn had better results, but that won't always be possible for every optimization problem, which makes GEO a promising solution for problems with large numbers of possible solutions.
Gotcha. Okay, so what other use cases? So we've talked about finance and this vehicle assembly scheduling problem. Will, maybe what are some other use cases you could use for GEO?
Yeah, so I'd say in terms of use cases, any place or any industry where optimization is used, especially where they have problems that are hard to solve with conventional techniques, but may lend themselves to some well-behaved models. These might be places where GEO could help out. These related places could be workforce scheduling. That might be the most similar to our case, but this could extend to supply chain optimization or logistics as well. The majority of interesting problems are pretty diverse. So there's no real way of knowing how GEO will perform unless we actually try it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's all the time that we have. So thank you, Will, Shima, and Marcin for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So if you like this episode, I've hand-selected two episodes that I think you'd like to listen to. Go check out those links in the description. And if you have an optimization problem that you'd like to try solving with GEO, or if you'd like to discuss your use case with our scientists, get in touch at bd@zapatacomputing.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Quantum Pod. Until next time, this is Ethan Hansen reminding you, good morning, and in case I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.